Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. How many people today are addicted to virtual things versus reality, right? Think about it. I remember, you know, I was in a shopping center parking lot, grocery store, waiting for Donna to come out, and I'm watching all these people come out of their cars, and nobody, I mean, this most dangerous place probably in driving time is a parking lot.
Yeah, no doubt.
Is a parking lot when, you know, 98-year-old Miss Jones is backing her, you know, whatever up, you know, from that aspect of it, and you can't really see. She can't see over the back of it. Or, you know, 16-year-old, you know, Johnny backing his vehicle up in a parking lot. You got to keep your eyes open in a parking lot. You're you know, like an NBA player. And so it's they're getting out of their cars and they're all looking at their mobile devices, their phones, and they're just walking, looking like this, and they're doing like this, and, you know, and, you know, whatever. And they're just all talking. I thought, man, this is ridiculous. I mean, I can't believe everybody's just, you know, and then I looked at myself. I actually looked back down at mine. I'm talking about hitting my phone.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, I'm actually doing it too. And it's like, who would ever thought these listening sticks, right? That we would actually have these things and we would carry them with them. As you can hear about an earlier article, there was a day, you know, spent in law enforcement where people would get a device like this strapped to their ankle and it would track them and it would monitor them and it would let people know if that person who's on house arrest, you know, got any further than whatever their stipulations were by their probation officers. And they hated it. And they actually strapped it to them in a way that you couldn't even cut it off with a saw. It had this big latch device on it.
What's that lunchbox on your ankle? What is
that? Yeah. And they had to pay, you know, so much money a month to maintain that whole thing. And if their dot went outside that block and they're monitoring, then it would set off an alarm, immediately call the probation officer, immediate officers go in that area. And it's like, they hated that. They hated that. As a matter of fact, one of the last arrests I made in my last month of being in law enforcement, I was patting this particular person down who was getting arrested for A, not B. And when I got to his ankle, I found out he was a student in a high school that was on house arrest. On arrest. The teacher didn't even know he had one of those bracelets on his ankle. It would have been nice to know that he was wanted for armed burglary out of Texas, by the way. You need to tell the teachers, you know, who's in their classroom, because she was getting on to him about something. He could have just, you know, freaked out. But today, you don't have to strap it to nobody. We just carry it with us, right? And we pay for it more than they paid for probation. It's like, something's not right. It sounds like we bought into a new narrative about we don't mind being observed. We don't mind being controlled. We don't mind people knowing everything about us. And it just makes you think about there's no true relationships. People say, you know, I have 472 friends. And it's like, whoa, how do you know you have 472? Maybe one of them maybe not like you no more. And you find out it's because they're talking about people that pushed a logarithm button on a computer program that is titled friend. Instead, it could be titled how we're going to make a lot of money connecting you to people that you know, so y'all can share stuff back and forth so we can figure out how to market you. But they just kind of summed it up with one word and said friend. And Mark Zuckerberg with Facebook and that type of thing. And I was just watching the CEO of Facebook, or the president, CEO, whatever she is. She used to work for Google. Now she works for
Sandberg.
Lean Forward author. Yes. And it was it's amazing what they're doing. And they're just tracking everything. And now they're talking about the big conversation is about NSA and the security agency, national security agencies that is or isn't whatever gathering all of our data. And the truth is that what are we doing with it? And what we're doing, even though the word says social media, even though it says, you know, you get friends this way, there's really no friendship going on. And then you hear people talking, they say things like, you know, I was just talking to so-and-so, you know, and he's like, oh, you were? Yeah. Well, how are they doing? Oh, they're great. This is going on. You go, look, great, great. When did you last see him? Oh, I haven't seen him about 3 years. I was just prowling through their Facebook. I was like, isn't that a crime? Like stalking, right? Now, I remember a young lady saying that she said very specifically that's what she would do. She would stalk folks. Oof. I mean, that's what, I mean, you look at the stalking thing is where you today, because you're posting everything, mm-hmm. then they, and stalking is where somebody just follows your life, mm-hmm. and they created stalking laws, and we're not talking about socks, stockings, but yeah. stalking, you know,
folks. Stalk.
Stalking.
Yeah. Stalk.
Stalk ahead.
Stalking. Like a tournament of stockings. Uh-huh. And so in that, and so people can just basically look like, okay, they're eating okra for lunch and they're having oatmeal for breakfast and they're, you know, they're at a whatever here, that's their friends. And they're concerned about that. They talk about, you know, predators and all stalking children who are coming on or just stalking everybody. It doesn't have to be just children, it's everybody. And it's like, this is not good, but the big thing that's going on that we're known as Christians, we're known as being part of the Lord's family by the love and the relationship we have with each other, that we actually have a tangible relationship. And he tells us, you know, as the day grows close, he says, don't forsake the fellowshipping together. And he says, and when all these things happen, look up for your redemption is nigh. And I want to tell you, I want to challenge you today because we're just going to show you something. This is a beautiful poem video that's put together. It's called Look Up. And he talks about how things, if we don't look up from our mobile devices, then our life's going to be totally different. Take a look at this.
I have 422 friends, yet I'm lonely. I speak to all of them every day, yet none of them really know me. The problem I have sits in the spaces between, looking into their eyes or at a name on a screen. I took a step back and opened my eyes. I looked around and realised that this media we call social is anything but when we open our computers and it's our doors we shut. All this technology we have, it's just an illusion. Community, companionship, a sense of inclusion. Yet when you step away from this device of delusion, you awaken to see a world of confusion. A world where we're slaves to the technology we mast. A world of self-interest, self-image, self-promotion. Where we all share our best bits, but leave out the emotion. We're at our most happy with an experience we share. But is it the same if no one is there? Be there for your friends, and they'll be there too. But no one will be if a group message will do. We edit and exaggerate, crave adulation. We pretend not to notice the social isolation. We put our words into order until our lives are glistening. We don't even know if anyone is listening. Being alone isn't the problem. Let me just emphasise, if you read a book, paint a picture, or do some exercise, you're being productive and present, not reserved and recluse. You're being awake and attentive and putting your time to good use. So when you're in public and you start to feel alone, put your hands behind your head, step away from the phone. You don't need to stare at your menu or at your contact list. Just talk to one another. Learn to coexist. I can't stand to hear the silence of a busy commuter train where no one wants to talk through the fear of looking insane. We're becoming unsocial. It no longer satisfies to engage with one another and look into someone's eyes. We're surrounded by children who, since they were born, have watched us living like robots and think it's the norm. It's not very likely you'll make world's greatest dad if you can't entertain a child without using an iPad. When I was a child, I'd never be home. Be out with my friends on our bikes, we would roam. I'd wear holes in my trainers and graze up my knees. We'd build our own clubhouse high up in the trees. Now the park's so quiet, it gives me a chill. See no children outside and the swings hanging still. There's no skipping, no hopscotch, no church and no steeple. We're a generation of idiots, smartphones and dumb people. So look up from your phone, shut down the display. Take in your surroundings, make the most of today. Just one real connection is all it can take to show you the difference that being there can make. Be there in the moment that she gives you the look that you remember forever as when love overtook. The time she first holds your hand or first kiss your lips. The time you first disagree but still love her to bits. The time you don't have to tell hundreds of what you've just done because you want to share this moment with just this one. The time you'll sell your computer so you can buy a ring for the girl of your dreams who is now the real thing. The time you want to start a family and the moment when you first hold your little girl and get to fall in love again. The time she keeps you up at night and all you want is rest. And the time you wipe away the tears as your baby flees the nest. The time your baby girl returns with a boy for you to hold. And the time he calls you granddad and makes you feel real old. The time you take in all you've made just by giving life attention. and how you're glad you didn't waste it by looking down at some invention. The time you hold your wife's hand, sit down beside her bed. You tell her that you love her, lay a kiss upon her head. She then whispers to you quietly, as her heart gives a final beat, that she's lucky she got stopped by that lost boy in the street. But none of these times ever happened. You never had any of this. When you're too busy looking down, you don't see the chances you miss. So look up from your phone, shut down those displays. We have a finite existence, a set number of days. Don't waste your life getting caught in the net, as when the end comes, nothing's worse than regret. I'm guilty too of being part of this machine, this digital world we are heard but not seen, where we type as we talk and we read as we chat, where we spend hours together without making eye contact. So don't give in to a life where you follow the hype. Give people your love, don't give them your like. Disconnect from the need to be heard and defined. Go out into the world, leave distractions behind. Look up from your phone, shut down that display. Stop watching this video, live life the real way.
This guy, this young man nailed it. We're going to make that available to you on the VFN Torch. You go to VFNTV.com and you can see it yourself. You didn't get a chance to see it on television. But those that are listening, you can hear how powerful that is. And you got to see it because in that one moment, that his destiny changed because he wasn't looking. He had a piece of paper looking for directions, not Google Maps.
Right.
And so he had to stop this girl on the street and ask her directions. She gave her directions, ended up, long story short, being his wife, the mother of his children, the one that he would hold her hand as she would go away and she'd pass away. And it was all that moment that came back to it. And then it goes back to it and shows him with an iPhone. And he comes to that same intersection because he didn't need to communicate with anybody because he was communicating with Smith, with Google, you know, right? And the president of Google. And because he had Google Maps. And so he doesn't even look up. He doesn't even look up. And she passes him by. His future. And how many people, I mean, first of all, I remember in the city, you know, anyway, I mean, I know some of you guys are listening to the city right now. I mean, it's not like you crank up conversations in the subway, but now there's definitely no conversation going on. I mean, that's when I first learned how that you could sit in a small enclosed area and be like Pat, no, say nothing at all. They had no problem. People didn't talk at all. They just kind of, you could actually have, okay, if you had a car, how many people could fit in a car, for example, right now?
In the subway car?
Yeah, just one car.
20? 25?
It's got to be more than that.
Depends, I mean.
I would imagine just being the small, with 20, so if you had 20 people in there.
Well, you're probably right. Probably
50.
50, yeah, 50.
So that means you have 100 eyeballs. So how can, but it's amazing. Every eyeball can actually look somewhere, not looking at someone, and nobody sees anything. And it's just a peripheral experience. And now with these devices, you know, people really don't.
It's an excuse to look down.
It's an excuse not to actually acknowledge that you. And then you think about all these parents who don't even pay attention to their children. He says, if you can't be a dad without an iPad, you know what I'm saying?
You're in trouble, yeah.
And but it's media in general. And then he says, this is what he was talking about. He says, you know, we've become a generation of idiots with smartphones, but dumb people. And it seems weird because when you're hanging around somebody that knows so much and has no problem sharing what they know, you actually start thinking you know it. But actually, that person's a source to you. But you don't know that because you find out, you know, like a young kid that thinks they know everything and all of a sudden they go out on their own and they find out, well, that was mom's wisdom. That was dad's wisdom. That wasn't my wisdom.
That's right.
And they have this time of suffrage, the suffrage movement, where they come back to their senses. Well, what happens when you turn off your smartphone and you realize that it actually was Google or Bing or whoever out there that was answering these questions for you and apps and all? That really wasn't your intelligence. It's like walking into a library and saying, I'm smart. You're not smart. You just know what books to pull. Right. And then you have to read the book and find out how to do something. And that's how being a doctor, you first got to walk into the school and then they're going to teach you things. Well, imagine now if they say, you don't have to even know it. I'll just hold your hand and I'll show you how to do all. You never were a doctor,
yeah,
but the doctor held your hands. And so if any point they want to let go of your hands, you can no longer do that surgery anymore. You know what I'm saying? And that's how this technology is getting that way. And the biggest thing in regards to the church, what we're losing is relationships, you know, marital relationships, family relationships. We're not taking into consideration, you know, what's happening. And what we went through, what we call the dark ages, where we went from paper management and stuff historically. Then we came into technology because technology is like, man, look what technology can do. And da, 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 da. And we were able to do so much, but it was so much that we were disconnected from what we were doing. So it, we were doing it. Yes. And you remember that we were, he and I have always walked together in these different encounters. And, he's a witness to this, but somebody's saying, you know, I've got your information over here. So he comes out of our chairs where we're sitting and he walks over to his desk and he starts pulling up, you know, his contact information.
Right.
And he pulls up his contact information and it's like, he's tapping, he's trying all these different ways to pull it. He's frantically looking, you know, for, and this is a brother, what I'm saying? This is a brother in the Lord. And of course I was having fun with him. Like, I thought you loved me. I'm not even in your contacts, you know? And, I said, Dad? No, it wasn't. But, and but it just, those kind of systems, and I can relate to that because that was called the dark ages for us. It's like, I'd rather do less and be connected than to feel like I'm doing more and be disconnected. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening is right now. You know, one of the things that we're talking about during the break where he says in this particular look up poem, he says, I'd rather you give love than give like, you know, liking something. But it's amazing how many people's values based off how many people like something.
Crazy.
Or, you know, the sand ballot whole situation that we know about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how things are right now. But we as Christians, we're supposed to actually be, you know, the one another's, love one another, you know, take care of one another, meet each other's needs. They will know that you are my disciples by your love for each other. And quite often what's happening is the church is running out and being a social justice movement, you know, meeting the needs of the world when they're not even having a relationship with their own brothers and sisters in the Lord to be able to. And that creates this divine encounter where Jesus says, where two or more are gathered in that mindset, there I am in the midst of that. And he says, and the world will know that that they are loved by God as much as they love me, Jesus said, just by you guys having a true relationship, not a virtual relationship. And you can just see where, you know, we're going right in to this, you know, economic mark, you know, the mark of the beast, where this virtual whatever is going to be tracking everything. I mean, you can see it, but the church, we have to understand, you know, what do we do? What we did when we came out of the dark ages of that whole mindset was, you know, we went back to paper for a season and said, you know, I'd rather have a pocket knife and a piece of wood to carve this thing out so I'm connected to everything that I'm doing, because I want to pray. I want to prayerfully connect to that. And what came out of that is we found out is that technology wasn't bad. This is our perspective of it. But technology submits to us. We don't submit to technology. Just because Google Maps says take a right, that's just an option. That's just an option. You know, just because, you know, it says you have, you know, 200 friends or 1,000 friends or whatever,
it's not real.
It's just a logarithm. It's a button they decided to name friend. If you really name the button, the word that says like on it, because you can name, by the way, this is how it works. There's nothing there. Then somebody enters some logarithms and some data, and then they decide, I want a button here. When they push this button, it will do whatever I wanted it to do. Then they say, okay, we'll pick blue. And they say, okay, now we got to, I mean, people are not going to know it's a button unless you call it something. Well, we know what it does. It actually connects us to their innermost secrets and their social life and how they think and who their friends are. And we all know how to market to them. What do you want to call that? Suck them dry? you know, voyeur into their life of marketing, right. Voyeur marketing. No, let's just call it friend. And it's amazing. It was brilliant marketing, you know, and you connect it. And as soon as you push that button, if you actually look at what happens, and we have the privilege of looking at some of the things that happen in the context of that, there is literally spiral connectings to everything that you do now. Everything's connected. So I encourage you, you know, let, you know, technology submit to you. Be willing to live without it. And you can find out, just like he ended with turning it off. See what your life is like about turning it off. And understand this, where the enemy may be using it for evil, if you use it for good, if you begin to reach these folks who are socially disconnected, but virtually thinking that they're in some relationships, you can begin to say, it ain't real. It's not real. And there's nothing more difficult than talking to this generation about reality when they really feel their virtual reality is a reality and it's not. Mm-mm. And when we stand before the throne of God, God's not going to be saying, okay, like or unlike. It's going to be the judgment seat. Mm. And he says, whatever you did to the least of these of mine, you did to me. Whatever you didn't do to the least of these, you didn't do to me. And he said, the ones who didn't do to him don't go to heaven. So it's important for us to know. He says, if you love me, you're going to love your brothers and your sisters. He says, it's impossible to love God. He even calls us a liar if we don't love our brothers. And we can only know that when we hang out with them. We spend time with them, not virtually, but physically. I just want to challenge you to look up. Our redemption draws nigh. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.